Today we are in the book of Esther, and we come to chapter 7, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Esther chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king again asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." The king is in a very generous mood toward his queen. And we saw in chapter 6 that Haman was humiliated in the last chapter, having to parade Mordecai around like a national hero. And that was bad for him. But he doesn't know what bad is yet. Haman has tricked the king into issuing a law declaring that all Jews be killed, and now Haman is about to learn that the queen herself is a Jew. And the king is in a very good mood. The king is in a very good mood toward his wife, which is going to be bad news for Haman when she tells the king her request. 3. Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request." The king doesn't know that his queen is a Jew. Did you know that? She never told him. He doesn't know. And he also doesn't know that Haman is responsible for getting him to write a law demanding that all the Jews be killed. Haman was very vague. He just said, "There's some people that we ought to kill, king." And the king was bad enough himself by not inquiring what the problem was and who they were. So it turns out they were Jews that Haman wants dead. He got the king to sign a law which cannot be reversed, killing all Jews. The king doesn't know that it's a law concerning the Jews. The king doesn't know that his wife, Esther, is a Jew. And neither does Haman. 4. The queen continues, "For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." The queen is saying, "I wouldn't even be bringing this up, king. If it was just about you selling me and my people for money, you know, I wouldn't even brought it up." She is suggesting that she would understand him doing something like that. "But why have me and all the other Jews killed? You're not going to get any return on that. What's the point?" So she brings it up. 5. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" The king still doesn't understand that this whole thing is connected to his royal command to wipe out a race of people who Haman wanted wiped out. He still doesn't get it. 6. Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Haman wasn't stupid enough to try to kill the queen, but his reckless plan to kill all Jews included her. And so the king is angry, and Haman is terrified. 7. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. The only one the king would even possibly listen to at this point would be the queen. She is Haman's only hope. And so we see here the one who would show no mercy is now begging for mercy. Verse 8. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?" As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. This king thought that Haman was trying to molest the queen on top of everything else. What nerve! What nerve this Haman has! Well, he's not going to receive mercy. He won't even have a chance to ask for it. He's got his face covered. That means they put a hood on him and they're getting ready to hang him. 9. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house. He had it made for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. And the king said, hang him on it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Haman didn't show mercy, so he won't enjoy mercy either. We reap what we sow. And so on the gallows where he would hang an innocent man, he will now be hung. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Haman's life was a sinful life. And this is how it ended. He wanted to be honored, but he died in disgrace. He wanted to be famous for being important. Instead, he is famous for being an arrogant, self-centered person who got the punishment that he deserved. I will say this, problem number one is solved. Haman is dead, and Mordecai will not be hanged. But problem number two is still there, because the royal law to kill all the Jews cannot be reversed. So we're going to see what happens in the next chapter. Until then, so long, everyone.